You're listening to All the Backlist, a weekly show about books that are not new. I'm your host, Vanessa Diaz. This is episode 460.5, airing on Friday, April 26th. And today, with just the nick of time, I'm going to tell you about some poetry, some books for National Poetry Month, which April is. Again, only a few days left, but as we all know, some poetry is something that we just read year-round around here, or at least I try to, and it's actually, I feel like, a goal that I'm constantly repeating to myself when I set out whatever my version of reading goals are for the years. I need to read more poetry. I'm always glad when I do, but sometimes I need that gentle nudge to, you know, remember to go and do that. So I'm going to be presenting y'all with some collections of poetry that I've loved, also a YA novel in verse, and a podcast that I think you should listen to as well, not just this month, but any old time of the year. But before we do that, let's hear from our sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Bloom Books. Charming, easygoing, and rich, Xavier Castillo has the world at his fingertips. He also has no interest in taking over his family's empire, but that hasn't stopped women from throwing themselves at him. Unless, of course, the woman in question is his publicist. The cool, the intelligent, the ambitious Sloane Kensington, who is a high-powered publicist who's used to dealing with difficult clients, but none infuriate or tempt her more than a certain billionaire heir with his stupid dimples and laid-back attitude. She may be forced to work with him, but she'll never fall for him because he's a client and that's all he'll ever be. Right? Right, girl. Like, we all know. So, just in case you didn't know, author Anna Wong is the best-selling author and book talk viral author of the Twisted Love series, the King of Sin series. Miss Wong, gotta go on, okay? Make sure to check out King of Sloth by Anna Wong, and thanks again to Bloom Books for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Amazon Publishing. So I got a story with a little Old West debauchery, if you want to get a little messy. So there is a city steeped in the Old West mess, and in the city, a reporter is following every lead to a dangerous place, one that could bring him glory and fame or end his life. New York Times bestselling author Robert Dugoni is back with a gripping new thriller of corruption, vice, and murder set in Depression-era Seattle. It's about a reporter covering a hot murder trial who soon learns nothing is what it seems. The story could make his career if he lives to write about it. You can learn more at amazon.com/A Killing on the Hill. So yes, A Killing on the Hill by Robert Dugoni is what you need to pick up if you are into some Depression era danger in Seattle. It's a city of big dreams and dark ambitions, and this reporter gets caught up in the muck. So make sure to check it out, and thanks again to Amazon Publishing for sponsoring this episode.
So first, I'm going to tell you about that podcast, because that segues really beautifully into one of my poetry picks for you today, and that is the podcast Vibe Check, which if you aren't listening to, is so, so good. I've only, I think, been listening to it for about 6 months. It's hosted by three fantastic gentlemen. There's Sam Sanders, Zach Stafford, and Saeed Jones, the latter of whom you may recognize as this phenomenal writer and poet of books like How We Fight for Our Lives, Prelude to a Bruise, and Alive at the End of the World. The hosts every week, it's like a news and culture show, but really they're just three friends, really. And so in addition to like the content they actually cover being really interesting and nuanced and just very interesting to observe, like the way they discuss it, you're also essentially over like listening into a conversation among friends. And that's the best part. Like their chemistry is just chef's kiss. And one of my favorite parts of the show is that at the end, they talk about something that's helping keep their vibe right. And Saeed very reliably picks, if not always, I can't remember if it's always or just most of the time, but again, reliably picks a piece of poetry and then reads it out loud. And it's one of my favorite parts of the show because the way he performs it is always just so good, impactful, so powerful, and really a great reminder to me that like poetry is so much more vast and accessible than maybe I was taught that it is in school. So he has really been a nice weekly reminder to me to, hey, go pick up some poetry. And like, hey, here's a perfect example for you to go out and find. On a recent episode, they had poet laureate Ada Limón on to talk about poetry. And I love her so much. She is one of the poets that I like to recommend when people are kind of hit you with the, like, I don't know if poetry is for me, because I definitely used to feel like one of those people. So go listen to that episode to hear more about her position as poet laureate. You'll learn a lot about that. But also the way she discusses how she approaches her craft is just so, like, infectious to hear her talk about, and the way that she just talks about poetry and, like, what it is and what it isn't, what it means for her, what it can and should not mean for you. She has this new collection that she edited called You Are Here, and it's an anthology of contemporary poetry reflecting to our relationship, or reflecting on our relationship, I should say, to the natural world. The names on this list include so many people that I love. There's Hanif Abdurraqib, Joy Harjo, Jericho Brown, Ruth Awad, Rigoberto Gonzalez, and Alicia Sotelo, which a hint I'm going to talk about a little bit later too. So again, that is a brand new collection of poetry that just came out this month, but it got me thinking about some of my other favorite poetry, because it is by Ada Limón, who edited this anthology, and by one of their contributors, Alicia Sotelo. So first two picks then are The Carrying by Ada Limón. I tried to write what it is that I love about this particular collection, but really the copy of it, which I don't like to rely on, but just does state so beautifully that this collection is about the ambiguous moment between the rapture of youth and the grace of acceptance. A daughter tends to aging parents. A woman struggles with infertility. What if instead of carrying a child, I'm supposed to be carrying grief, in quotes. And a body seized by pain and vertigo as well as ecstasy. A nation convulses. Every song of this country has an unusual third stanza, something brutal. So that is a kind of a mixture of both the copy itself and some of the, like, actual lines of poetry that it, you know, from the book that they referenced in that copy. And it just sort of sums it up and really gets to the biggest lesson about poetry that I have learned through reading Ada Limón and listening to her talk about her poetry, which is that you don't need to force poetry to be a certain shape. It is likely not what most of us have been taught in school, and most of us were not taught very diverse poetry, first and foremost, and also we're getting taught to maybe, like, analyze it in a way that poetry just really wants to break you out of. It's not supposed to have, like, necessarily anyway, it can, but not, like, a very clear, you know, beginning, middle, and end. It doesn't have to, like, fully flesh out a thought. It can be just a stream of consciousness or some feelings or observations on a person, a place, a thing, a feeling, a vibe. And Ada Limón's poetry really does that for me, while it just, like, 100% unambiguously making me feel things. And that is what Ada talks about a lot, is, like, that poetry is magical and a lot goes into the craft of poetry. And so much of that is just letting you feel whatever it wants you to feel, and just let, you know, let it rock, and don't, like, force it to try to look like something else. So that collection is fantastic. She's got lots of other stuff that you can go read. I'm definitely going to be picking up this new anthology. But when I need to go back and kind of just meditate on the simplicity of a poem that says so much while also saying so little, I definitely come back to this one again. And that again is The Carrying by Ada Limón. The second collection I wanted to recommend is called Virgin by Analicia Sotelo. This is a collection that when it came out, I was so obsessed with it, I was talking about it entirely too much. But it is this beautiful blend of feminist myth with these, like, lush, powerful poems about the experience of being a Mexican-American woman, specifically in Texas for the author. It's full of Mexican imagery. So, like, that alone really had me. But then I realized that there was a mythology angle here. And that is that a lot of the poems, I think, it's a running theme. I can't remember how many exactly, but are specifically about the Ariadne Theseus Minotaur myth, which, if you know me, you know, mythology, like, tends to get me every time. I specifically love this myth, and it's just a good time because Theseus is unabashedly painted as an F-boy in this collection in a way that just makes sense if you know, you know, the myth that Theseus essentially, you know, tricked Ariadne into, like, coming with him and then to, you know, defeating the Minotaur, and then she ran away with him and he abandoned her on an island. Like, he ghosted her 100%, and this collection of poetry really leans into, like, calling him out for what he is with some modern language that just, you know, builds upon, like, the myth that we already know. It is wonderful. I love this collection. It was so refreshing and, like, different for me. And again, one of those poems, I think I read both of these in the same year, they may have even come out in the same, you know, general time frame, was that reminder to me that the poetry that I had been introduced to for most of my life and that I thought of as important was just one slice of the wide and wonderful world of poetry and what it can look like, and that it doesn't need to be, again, like, follow the path that somebody else did. It's really very much down to the creator and what, you know, they're thinking and feeling and how they approach their craft. So this one is a really great combination of beautiful and just fun. And so if you like some mythology, even if you don't know the mythology, again, the story itself is, like, very, Like you'll get the vibes. You'll pick up the vibe she's putting down. So that again is Virgin by Ana Lícia Sotelo. The last pick I have for you today is a YA novel in verse. So just a reminder, if you are either new to poetry or wanting to just read more poetry, looking for different ways to experience poetry, all the things, as many of you already know this, but novels in verse can be a really, really great way to get that done. I love this particular YA novel in verse. I actually just talked about it on a recent episode of Hey YA. Because if you are looking maybe for your poetry to have like a little more structure, again, novel and verse, great way to start. And this one is so phenomenal, but it's also not an easy read. So first, I'm going to tell you the name of that book is Blood, Water, Paint by Joy McCullough. Issuing a giant trigger warning for this one as well, not just for the content itself, but for the description of the book. I kind of can't avoid discussing sexual assault and rape. So those issues are sensitive for you, then maybe you want to skip over this particular recommendation. So this book is about the Italian Baroque painter Artemisia Gentileschi, which I'm sure I have not said in the beautiful Italian accent in which it is intended, but she is a figure that has long fascinated me, intrigued me. She was the first woman to be accepted to the Florence Fine Arts Academy, this phenomenally talented painter, a follower of Caravaggio, and she is the artist behind one of my favorite paintings, a very famous painting called Judith Beheading Holofernes. The painting depicts Judith and Holofernes, who are figures from the apocryphal Book of Judith. Judith and an accomplice, I believe a servant, are holding down a struggling Holofernes as Judith slices into this dude's throat with her sword. It is bloody. It's so like visceral and vivid in a way that if you've ever, you know, been a person like I confess I was when I was younger, who like didn't quote unquote get paintings or like understand how vivid they can be and how much they can tell a story without words. Like this is one of those first paintings that like really did that for me, because it's just, yeah, it's like, it's brutal. Like there's the blood, like the tension in the arms that are both holding the guy down and the one, you know, holding the sword, and the look on the guy's face that is just wild eyed and like clearly very conscious of like what is happening to him. It's also really interesting because it is a self-portrait. So explain that, I will say that this book is essentially takes place, you know, when Gentileschi was about 17, when she was unfortunately so heartbreakingly raped by her painting instructor, a man who she had sought out for mentorship and to help, you know, hone her formidable skill. Her father ended up pressing charges against that man because 17th century Italy, women could not do so for themselves. And that trial, the trial itself, and then of course the outcome, not great, which, you know, maybe predictably because women, agency, rights, you know how that used to go and how it often still does, unfortunately. McCullough takes us through that story from, you know, her early years of loss of her mother, but we essentially are getting to know her, right, as she is developing that skill set and seeking that mentorship, and obviously this awful thing's happened to her, the trial itself, and really the way that Gentileschi decides to fight back the only way that she can, which is with her paintbrush. It is this portrait of an artist, obviously a young woman who is just full of, again, this like just raw talent, who's full of creativity and trying to kind of find that inspiration in spite of these awful, awful setbacks due to the fact that the system in all ways is, you know, basically built to act against her. It's heartbreaking. The story is woven through with the stories of ancient heroines, like, of course, Judith and also Susanna, another painting that she did. And again, in both, she actually puts herself into the portraits, and that's where that self-portraiture part comes through. But it's just, this is a book that feels so incredibly relevant and timely because of these obviously unspeakable violence and the way that we just don't and never have really been great about believing women and observing one woman, you know, take her power back basically and say, like, you will not undo me. In fact, there's a line from the book that is quoted in a lot of the publisher copy for this one that's like, he will not consume my every thought. I am a painter. I will paint. It is so great. And so if you like historical stuff, if you like books that are about real people, and if you want to read more poetry or just love poetry already, this is a great one and is YA. Because of the subject matter, obviously, it's a little tougher, so it is maybe a little bit older YA, but obviously your mileage may vary. Approach with caution, as you need to do. And those are my picks for today. Happy National Poetry Month. Hope you found some wonderful poetry to read this month and, of course, year-round. Thank you so much to today's sponsor, to our wonderful audio editor, Caitlin Brame, and, of course, to you as the listener. For more recs or general bookishness, check out bookriot.com, and don't forget to check out our full podcast offerings over at bookriot.com/listen. Or you can just search Book Riot on your podcast player of choice. You can find a list of all the books that I've mentioned today in the show notes by visiting bookriot.com/allthebooks. And if you're a fan of all the books and all the backlist and you want to show us some love, please consider leaving a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you review podcasts. We really appreciate those reviews, as always, because they help other book lovers come find us, talk about poetry and history and all things readerly and magical. If you want to find me, I am mostly on Instagram these days at BuenosDiasSD. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, happy reading.